screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
Hey, yo, it's draft day, baby. It's draft day. Let's go. There is hope. There is excitement. There is championship aspirations in the air.
Hey, there's just people that just want something to be done. Just want something to be done.
Well, there's that, too.
We don't want no draft pick.
We don't want you to draft players no more.
That's what a lot of people are saying. Me, I don't know. I'm torn. I see both. I see both sides. I'll be fine with a draft pick.
You ain't even got to be deep, I guess.
Except for one.
Well, we'll talk to Bryant West. He was listening. He heard your thoughts on that pick. We'll talk to Bryant West in the final hour of the show. We'll talk to Will Z coming up in the 1 o'clock hour as well. And man, what a great way to get draft day underway last night.
Oh man. Shout out
Mikal Bridges. Man, Mikal Bridges headed to the New York Knicks. What a move by the Knicks. What a move by Brooklyn.
I'm surprised that happened. You know how I feel about that kind of stuff, like the regional rivals actually making moves. You don't see it a lot
first
in sports.
Deal in 23 years, they said, I think.
Between the two of the teams?
Yeah. Sean Marks was talking about how when he worked there, not Sean Marks, Bobby the good Marks, Bobby Marks. Bobby Marks said when he never placed a call to the New York Knicks.
You don't see that at all in sports with regional rivals. Like, you don't see the Clippers and the Lakers working together, the Giants and the A's working together. When the Raiders and were here in the Bay Area, and it probably still feels the same way right now, that they don't work together. Kings, Warriors don't work. You don't see this often, if ever, especially for a player like Mikal Bridges. Not saying he's like the gold standard, but he's a hot commodity.
Player.
You would think if Brooklyn made it be known to everybody that he was available, they could get comparable or better offers than what the Knicks gave up. So in that case, like, we're not dealing with these dudes. We're not dealing with the ops. We're going to go ahead and send them to Minnesota or something like that. But maybe the Knicks gave him an offer they couldn't refuse.
And that's absolutely what it feels like. There's pick swaps involved here. There's one protected pick. There's four unprotected picks. Like, there's a lot here for the Nets. Like, it's the perfect scenario. And then the subsequent deal, which we'll get into in a few minutes, because that was a really bizarre follow-up. But the Rockets deal and everything that went on there, that's what it feels like, that this was an offer that the Nets absolutely could not refuse. Mm-hmm. You want to replenish your team. You want to start over. You want to, you're wiping the Kyrie, KD, James Harden thing. You're wiping that out of your history now. And, you have a guy who could net you a massive return in Mikal Bridges, and you were able to execute it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had been on the open market, if they could have gotten a deal better than this, for a couple of reasons. The main one being what we talked about yesterday. The Knicks gave up 5 first-round picks. Mm-hmm. Bro, they still got 3 over the next handful of years. They did not wipe out everything that they had. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a team that was going to go into the season with massive expectations because of the way that the playoffs went. Mm-hmm. The expectations are going to be even greater, but you feel like, yo, we didn't sit still. We're not running it back as well as everything went. We're not banking on everybody being healthy. We're not banking on we're just going to do it again. No. We're going to take a step forward, and we're going to get better. And the truth is, with this team and the way that they're built, draft picks in 4 years, they don't matter.
No.
They traded a pick that doesn't get drafted till 2031. Yeah. But again, they still have three picks. They still have three first round picks over the next like 5 years or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There isn't a team in the league that could have offered that. Yeah. I don't even know if Oklahoma City has that level of first round picks.
It'd be hard pressed.
And they would be, and if they do, they're the only ones.
Utah got some now too. I remember they were saying Utah and OKC just going to pick the whole draft.
I remember that. Yeah, but doesn't Utah have like 39 second round picks or something absurd?
Picks. Yeah. But the Knicks, I mean, to your point, the cupboard is not bare. And what I like about them making this move is the things you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at it and they said, "Hey, the time is now. We got to strike now based off of where we were last year. We probably should have been in the conference finals last year if it wasn't for a couple of injuries. Like, what are we waiting for? The time is now. Let's go make a deal. Let's go get a guy that we really want, that we really believe can elevate us and take us to another level. And price be damned. Cost be damned. Mm-hmm. Let's go do what we got to do." And I see them doing that. And I'll bring it back home a little bit. On a smaller scale, I feel like that's what I think the Kings should be thinking. Now, not saying that you have 9 first round picks to go get somebody, and you know you got a plethora of assets to go do something like that. Not saying that, and also not saying that, hey, you need to go make a deal that's going to get you in the NBA Finals. Not saying that, but it feels like for the assets that you do have, for what you do have on the table and something to be able to go improve this team, make them markedly better, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time now. This is the draft. This is the summer. Whatever. Go do it now. Go be aggressive. Go be super aggressive with that right now. I do believe Monty is. You know what I mean? I don't want to say that as saying they're just sitting on their hands. I think Monty is exploring every avenue. But any apprehension that you may have had, you know, when the Pascal Siakam deal was on the table or another deal was on the table. Like, nah, ain't no apprehension. Go do what you got to do to improve this team. The time is now to go move whatever assets you have. Is that too drastic? You on the same wavelength with that?
No. That's not too drastic. You're right there. You're on the cusp. Like, they're legit. Also, I reserve the right to change my mind.
Presented with new facts.
I've been presented with new information. I am moving my take on the Pacers down to 3. I'm going Boston, New York, Indiana.
Orlando's still not around there. Huh?
Nah, not
Orlando. Not better than Indiana.
I don't think so. I'm not.
It's tough. It's tough.
I'm not where you are with Indiana yet. I mean, I'm sorry, with Orlando. I'm not where you are with Orlando.
I feel like Orlando's not even better than Philly yet.
Well, we have Philly got 4 players.
4? Philly got 4 players?
Maybe they just got 2.
They got Tyrese and Joe.
Windhorst says they're going to try and offer OG the max.
All right.
Well, that's the other aspect of this trade, right?
Well, that's
interesting.
Can somebody look this up? Because I keep looking this up, and this just can't be right. How many picks do the Oklahoma City Thunder have next year? How many first-round picks do they have?
I don't know, but I'll guess and say 4.
I think it's the number, 5. Which, how is that even possible?
That's crazy.
Again, they were the only, it is 5. God, this is going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder on the clock all year next year.
Well, and then you know my strategy. You know my strategy.
Make them pick.
You have to make the pick. You have to. I don't care. Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox, you guys listen, do not, and everybody in the league, do not trade with OKC and get any of those first round picks. Make them choose 5 guys. They only got 12 roster spots. They're going to have to make a decision somewhere. that's the move. Hell, make them, how many they got tonight? I think they got 2 or 3.
So that's interesting. I think they have 2, but I don't know. The OKC is confusing. This is, how many picks does OKC have? They have the 12th overall pick.
Yep, they got 12.
This year, OKC just has one.
It's just the one.
Yeah, this year, they have one.
Is that, but that's not theirs. So who
belongs
to
Houston?
Oh, the one they got from Houston. Okay.
Look at this. If you make them pick every pick, that's six players. That's half, damn near half the roster they'd have to pick and decide what to do with the other six players on their team.
You can package those guys up and get the next.
No, we're not trading with you with any of those picks.
What if it helps us?
The whole NBA.
Yeah, what if it helps?
How would it help?
Well, for a team that's gutting their roster.
Deal with Washington.
It helps
deal with
you.
Charlotte.
It helps.
Do not trade
they don't have
with
the
them.
Amount of picks that OKC has.
Deal with Utah.
So you'll harm your team just to be vengeful to Oklahoma City.
I'm saying I'm colluding here. The whole league needs to have the same mindset. Uh-huh. If you want to beat OKC, uh-huh. if you want to put them in a tough spot, uh-huh. do not trade for any of their picks.
Uh-huh. See, Kenny's not an NBA owner. You're an NFL owner. Collusion yeah. and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the better strategy? If we're trying to beat these guys, no. what's the better strategy?
They haven't even won anything
no,
yet.
No, it's Kenny Kraft over here. It's good. That's well, fine.
I'm tell me, what's the better strategy? Help them out with their roster and
no,
trade.
I'm not
one
worried.
For three?
If I'm a general manager and owner of a team, I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about my basketball team.
This is essentially what Jerry Jones was doing about running backs in some NFL meeting.
I'm telling you. If you all right, if you trade, you gonna they gonna
Adam Silver would ban you for life.
I saw Adam Silver last night.
I did too.
Yo, Cliff, hey, it's not a good show, but they're killing the casting.
Well, it's a,
they are
and I
the
and
casting.
I realize that's
Barbara
part of
Walters.
Oh, the Barbara Walters was
they're
wild.
Killing the casting.
I realized part of like the downturn. One, again, as it turns out, racism isn't funny. two, once the initial shock of like. I'm sorry, that's Blake Griffin. The chubby Steph Curry. Like, once the initial...
When him and Draymond came
when the initial shock wears off, it's like, okay, this show really isn't very good.
No, this it's not good at all. Good. I will give them, like, major point. They killed the casting. The more I saw Uncle Murder as Chris Paul, he's doing a great Chris Paul. He's doing a great Chris Paul. Because
okay.
he kind of speaks kind of low, kind of matter of fact.
He does.
He's That's how I envision an everyday conversation with Chris Paul.
No, they got the perfect pompous ass to play J.J. Redick. Boy, that guy, he researched old man in the three, man. He's got that pompous role down.
This is my
down.
Moment.
It's like, I'm going to shine right here.
Oh, and then Doc wearing the Doc Rivers warm-up.
Well,
at the grocery
what
store.
I tell you.
Yo, that
what
was,
I tell
that
you.
That first 5 minutes
Oh,
was
it's okay,
crazy.
Doc. Go ahead,
no,
Doc.
What they did
go
that.
Ahead, Doc.
Come on.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
That was the craziest 5 minutes of the show.
We'll come back. Man, we are just getting started. We'll talk. You asked. You brought. Okay, what's next for OG Anunoby? Now we know what the reports are. Mm-hmm. What about what we've been told? What about what we've talked about on the show? We'll talk about all of that, man. We're happy you're spending draft day here with us on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Stop.
What happened to the kid? He said he had. I don't know. That's whatever.
Will you stop?
Just
bro, will you take the cape off for Drake for one day? Just
you know,
take,
I love, you know,
just
I love
take
them
the cape. No,
stop. You that stop.
You
no.
have to stop.
You love Drake. You like Kendrick.
That's facts.
No. I
that's
like
facts.
Them both.
That's a
like,
lie.
So you think I like Drake the same way I like Jeezy?
Yes, I do. Yes, I
that's
do.
Cap.
No, yes,
you think
I
like Drake the same way I like Three Stacks?
No.
That's love.
It's close, though.
Nah,
all right.
Love.
It's close.
This is how you do it. Drake's best album is hanging over a cliff, and then Kendrick's best album is hanging over a cliff as well. Which one are you saving?
Probably Kendrick's. I like Good Kid, Mad City more than anything Drake's ever done.
Okay.
Right, I guess he's with us, though.
No, I don't think he is.
What are you talking
about? No,
of?
I don't think
what,
he is.
What
but
the hell?
No, it's fine. It's good. It's draft day.
Stop
we
it.
Can keep it moving.
Stop it.
We can keep it moving.
Good Kid, Dad.
Yeah, see, it got you. It's been getting me
good,
for years.
Good Kid, Mad City is one of my favorite hip hop albums.
It's one of the greatest.
I love that album. That's my favorite.
He's saying all of this because he knows his jacket can be in the closet until like October.
Well, I like both of them. I like Good Kid, Mad City, I like Take Care.
Drake sent in the ESPN crew the OVO jackets or whatever, so they wouldn't play Not Like Us coming from break and all that. That was a solid move by him.
Well, he didn't send it to all of us.
He didn't send it to anybody here.
Well, no, like just Kenny got one and then Big Perk and those guys.
Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah, true story.
Stop it.
This is Drew Downs said KC saving the Drake album, telling Kendrick to take care. Man, John, I've run Mr. Morale back a couple of times. It's
a good album.
It actually is.
I like their songs on there.
It's just a tough listen. Yeah. Like, again, because that record's heavy. Man, the East runs through I-95 right now.
Mm.
Boy, what a move for the New York Knicks last night. What a great way to kick off draft season. Don't forget, a free agency begins on Sunday. What a great start to all of this. I feel like the Knicks and the Celtics are the top of the class again. I reserve the right to move the Pacers down one slot for now. But the question you started to kind of tiptoe around just before we went to commercial break was, what now for OG Anunoby?
Now, so the reports are that the Knicks still want to make this happen.
So that is what the Knicks want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's the question anymore.
Well, so I thought about this, and it was essentially kind of what we were talking about yesterday with the idea of getting Paul George, right? We were like, if they got Paul George, would they be able to keep OG? Would that still be something that they would try to do? I don't remember what we all said. I thought it was a little like you probably could, but what does that lineup look like? And are you keeping Julius Randle and all this other stuff? So just looking at it right now, if they kept OG,
mm-hmm.
you got Brunson,
mm-hmm.
DiVincenzo, Bridges, this tough. Like,
are you trying to name the starting lineup or just
well,
guys
starting and finishing?
Well, so, Josh.
So, but, yeah. So like, even that, like, are we going small with Mikal? You could probably get away with Mikal at the four. Like, so, like, I'm thinking about matchups, right? Mikal can guard Pascal Siakam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Pascal's like your four in that case for the Pacers. So, yeah, you could go with Mikal as your four. Mikal against Boston would probably
he
guard.
Could get
Jalen in that case.
I mean, he could guard either one of them.
He'd probably go Tatum. But they don't. Yeah. The point being, they don't have Gobert and Towns. So Mikal can play the four. But then where do you put OG? Like, I don't know if this works.
I think you bring Hart off the bench. You go Brunson, DiVincenzo, OG, Mikal, and then Hartenstein, or however you pronounce his last
so,
name.
No, I don't think Randall. I think he's gone.
Yeah, I think. Well,
I saw they were still trying to go after him.
Yeah, but I don't know if they got the wallet.
Yeah, I think someone else is.
If you're getting OG. If you're not getting OG, maybe you do have the money to bring Hartenstein, which I kind of starting to lean towards you let OG go. Because you guys work with me here. We've talked about starting. Who's finishing? Who is finishing that game? Everything that we saw in the postseason, Josh Hart's finishing a game.
Well,
I wouldn't be so sure. I mean, DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, I guess, can switch off. But, like, I know Mikal, OG, and Brunson. Those are the three, definitely.
Well, look, I would even ask you this. This goes back to, like, what we talked about the other day. If you're the Knicks, do you want to pay OG $30 million to finish a game? Or you want Josh Hart out there finishing a game for, I don't know, if he makes 18 or 20?
I'd rather have OG.
Yeah, me too.
After what Josh Hart just did?
Yeah, like OG's better than Josh Hart. Josh Hart is very good, but like OG's better.
He might be better, but if the 18 or I don't know what Josh Hart makes, but it's cheaper than 30. If that allows you to bring back Hartenstein, you still want to bring back OG?
Yeah, you figure out the center position. OG,
so here's,
OG's
here's
a tier
the thing.
Above Hart
I think
for
we're
me.
Looking at this. I think we're doing this the whole wrong way. We're looking at this from the Knicks' perspective. I'm looking at this from the OG Anunoby perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We heard stuff that maybe OG wasn't really thrilled with Brunson ball.
Mm.
Now you got Mikal, who we're talking about Mikal on defense and who he can guard. Yo, Mikal's a scorer, too.
Mm-hmm.
He can score. Dante DiVincenzo has a role on the offensive end. You have these different guys. He may not like this fit anymore. We could talk all day about what the Knicks want. I'm thinking more about what OG wants. And my feeling is OG might not want this.
If OG's not back with the Knicks either, I'm not sure how great I feel about like with their chances against Boston too. I think you need all of those guys.
Josh Hart, by the way, make 20 a year.
He just signed
average,
him, right?
Average just 20 a year.
Did he just sign it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not, after what I saw in the playoffs and in that playoff run, I'm not. Josh Hart is part of my finishing lineup. Let's do it, then. I mean,
this is a good one.
Are we running Josh Hart?
No, this is a good one.
Let's do
it.
We
get in here.
We got Josh Hart. This is an interesting one.
Okay.
I am making the decision.
The hell?
Wow, okay, gosh. Tim Donaghy.
Adam Silver. Adam Silver on clipped in this
chart. We're going career earnings to date. Career earnings to date. Josh Hart. 7 years in the league. Now I'm calling it off.
Whoa! What are you doing?
What the hell
7 years.
Was that?
35 million.
7 years is.
What'd he say?
35.
Jesse's just throwing out
you heard
numbers.
Him. You heard no, him. 35. But here's, 35. Here, I'm here's going why. 37. You heard him. He said 35. You heard him. He said 35.
The music stopped.
Oh, my gosh.
Seven isn't.
What?
I'm tired of this starting and stopping. You did the same thing with OG, and I would have won that, too.
We didn't do OG?
No,
because OG, I think OG was the same problem. There's not enough of a. It's you basically have a rookie scale contract plus the extension, and that's it.
But the trick with Josh, though, is doesn't he have different than a rookie scale? Wasn't he a second round pick?
He was a very, very late first round. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't affect his next contract.
No, but it affects his first contract, right?
You want to do it?
No,
it's too late. We're too late. Yeah, no, we're already too late. Well, yeah. What is the number, though?
So the number to date is 46.
Thank you. I win.
No, you don't.
Yes, sir.
No, you don't.
Yes, sir.
The number at the end of the extension.
I said
is,
45, not 35.
The number at the end of the extension is 127.
Damn.
That's what caught my attention.
He signed, an $80 million deal or something like that?
That's about what it was. Mm. He's got 18, 19, you know, and change. Basically 21 and 22 due over the next 4 years.
Mm. Mm. So
does that change your mind? So $20 million annually for Josh Hart versus... you're making up this $30 million number. Like, there's nothing
out
there.
That's kind of what we've talked about, right? That he'd be looking for like $30 million.
ESPN had an article that said he could get 35
from the Knicks, or just 35 on the market.
Value on the market, yeah.
That's the number.
So does
that talk about.
Knowing that Josh is 20, does that change your mind about OG? If hypothetically he's 30?
No, I mean, because I understand what you're saying. We're looking at it from a Knicks perspective, and OG may not have been wanting to do any of this anyway, and that may be an issue. But if I'm the Knicks, and signing OG means that Josh Hart isn't in my closing lineup because OG's got to play, and I lose Hartenstein, I think I'm re-signing Hartenstein, keeping Josh Hart, and I got Mikal Bridges now. John Beach in the Matthews Matthews Chatty House brings up kind of another point. Like, we're talking about OG versus Josh Hart. The question might have been, do you pick OG or Bridges? And that may be what the Knicks kind of are looking at or were faced with. You got an opportunity to get Mikal Bridges. It may mean that you're going to lose OG because a lot of
maybe they already know OG's gone.
Maybe so. But maybe they were faced with a decision. And in that decision, do you take Mikal, who I think is probably around low 20s?
I think it was 25, and it's the next 2 years.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I'll get you the number.
Do you take Mikal, or do you take OG? I take Mikal.
No, me too.
And I'll take Mikal too.
And I think that's kind of OG. I like OG. I do. Regardless of what the media tried to say,
you
I
don't.
Like
yeah, it's just yeah. But
if
you like Drake too,
if you got,
it's 20.
You got,
it's 23 and 20. We'll round up five.
If you got options, I kind of moving towards the options. Obviously, because I got OG at 30 to 35, and I lose Hartenstein. I don't get Mikal Bridges, or, you know, I had to choose between those two. Or if I get Mikal, Josh Hart is out of the rotation, out of the closing rotation. Because to me, like I said, that's just – I'm not saying one way is better or the other, but that's just how I look at things. Who's – at the end of the day, we had KZ Akpala starting, you know what I mean, here in Sacramento. At the end of the day, who is closing the games? And I want Josh Hart out there. That's maybe a, not more than OG, but if the prices are a little different.
That's a tough example to use.
So they're trading Randle then, right?
They got that in their back pocket. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, right. I don't know where that. I don't know where Randle fits in all of this.
Do we like him here?
I've always liked Julius Randle, but that sure. Those types of comments will get you jumped.
That's why, yeah.
Yeah, those type of comments will get you.
We'll never forget when they beat you up over Kevin Love. That was like 3 years ago.
They did. It was a good thought, too. I didn't.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I got my ass beat over Julius Randle, too.
No, they was mad about that, too. I don't know why. I'm with you on Julius
Randle. Dame was all, hey, you know what would be cool is if Domantas Sabonis maybe took like a shot or two more. What? You want to trade him?
That happened. That was a shoot.
So let me play this out. If OG is gone, I'm gonna use it that way.
Okay.
If OG is gone. Yeah, I'm not sure how Randle fits either, because I don't think they got Mikal and put this whole Villanova thing together for those four to not be closing the games. So even if you trade Julius Randle, like, kind of what are you trading him for? What are you moving? You're not moving him for another starter. You're not moving him. Maybe I think the one that's disposable in the whole aspect is DiVincenzo. Maybe you could look for an upgrade at the shooting guard position and move Dante. If one has to be moved to the bench in these situations, maybe it's Dante DiVincenzo. I don't think Josh Hart at all is the guy that gets moved to the bench. It might be Dante. And I think that's probably the one guy that the people got most caught up in the hysteria of the playoffs.
Well, like, Dante played off the bench until OG got hurt, right?
Maybe so, yeah. That could have been the case. That could have been the case. Yeah.
I'll double check that. I don't want to be wrong.
That could have been the case.
Our man Off-White was out there cooking in New York.
Because I think, yeah, I don't know.
He started Jaylen, 63 out of the 81 games that he played.
Their starting once OG came back was Jaylen, Dante, Josh, OG, and Hartenstein / Mitchell Robinson. Because Randle's been gone for a long time.
So who's missing then? Oh, maybe that was it. They went smaller?
They went smaller because I can't think of another power forward that might have been playing.
Then who took OG's place?
Precious.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And they were down to, I mean, Precious would have never started or maybe even played that much if they didn't have all those injuries, because Mitchell Robinson went down too. But Hartenstein jumped in for Mitchell Robinson.
Right. So, Julius do 28.9 this season. Next year, player option at the age of 31, $30.9 million. Those are the numbers for Julius Randle over the next two seasons.
I think it's good problems to have for the Knicks, though.
You got options,
and yeah, with this Mikal Bridges thing, it seems like an all-in thing. And do you guys think? Now, I'm not saying this is a sound strategy or not, but do you think they really are leaning into this Villanova thing with the Knicks?
No, I think it's a coincidence. Mikal would have been a great pickup for any team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to be the Knicks who have all those Villanova guys already.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just the way this thing is getting pieced together. I think they wanted Donovan and couldn't land him and were able to get, you know, they got Jaylen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a series of coincidences. Josh Hart was already there, right?
The way it all got together, I think, is a coincidence. Now, like yesterday, I think you get Mikal Bridges.
Yes, Mikal Bridges.
If you went to UCLA,
right?
But I do think it helps. I do think it
helps. What
plays a factor? Like, yo, Josh, DiVincenzo, and Jaylen really want this. They really believe in it. Maybe that's the.
But
the,
it helps what though?
The chemistry.
Oh, sure,
and,
sure.
And
yeah,
these guys and the energy,
sure.
The vibes. Like these guys really want to play
are
together.
Vibes are important.
And they really want to play together. It helps that he's a great ball player, but that they got a Villanova connection or something like mm-hmm. that. So I don't think it was the end all be all, but I think it was something that was discussed maybe in the front office.
Yeah, I can see it. Is what you just text me real or are you joking? That really happened? Kyle just texted that Bridges asked to go to Brooklyn. Or asked to go to New York, excuse me. Yeah, he asked to go to the Knicks. Mm. That's interesting because I swore I read. Oh no, you know what? I might be mixing my. Now there's a difference between discussing his future, sitting down and discussing the future of Mikal Bridges with Mikal Bridges, is different than sitting down and Mikal Bridges asking for a trade. Mm. Right? Those aren't necessarily the same things. I kept thinking, I thought I saw Mikal Bridges didn't request a trade. No, what I saw was Kevin Durant didn't request a trade because for reasons known to absolutely nobody on the face of the planet, Kevin Durant's name was thrown in all of this last night. And as Shams was reporting, the secondary deal between the Rockets and Nets, mm-hmm. somehow Kevin Durant's name had to be thrown in there. Mm-hmm. And that was like, wait a minute, what's happening? And now, all of a sudden, there's questions about whether Kevin Durant is going to be traded, wants to be traded. I don't know if this is just a aroma from the failure of the Phoenix Suns season. I don't know what this is, but it was very, very odd in the midst of all of this. Yo, look at what the Knicks did. Mikal Bridges finally traded. I'm sorry. What the hell does Kevin Durant have to do with all of this?
Very random. I mean,
Woj is like, I'm gonna get me one.
He said,
I didn't get Dan Hurley. I'm gonna get Kevin Durant.
we kind of talked about this, and I had my ear to the street a little bit. And from what I can gather, KD is not asked out. Phoenix has no plans of moving him.
Right.
Some of the reporting and the wording with Houston, like preparing themselves. For if KD is available, like, sure, they can do that. I think there's truth to that, but there's no smoke around, from everything that I've been able to gather and the people I talk to, there's no smoke around a trade actually happening. From the things that we're being told, hey, anything could happen. You know what I mean? Maybe
the World Wrestling Federation.
Maybe they come with a Godfather offer as well, but there seems to be nothing to that, and not sure what Woj and Stephen A., what they got going on with kind of putting this out here.
Well, as Kendrick Lamar Duckworth said, these talking out they neck.
Did you see that picture of Devin Booker? I need to get him a sandwich.
Was he skinny?
Yeah. Did you see it, Jesse? Anybody see it?
Was it the one where he was at the gym?
Yeah, putting his shoes on or something like that.
Isn't Book skinny?
I mean, I'm not the only one to notice. Everybody's like, yo, get this guy a burger.
Oh, all right. No, I saw the picture. Honestly, I didn't think anything of it.
Well, but it looked skinny when I first saw it. And then I was just kind of going through some comments on, I was like, damn, so skinny Book loading this summer.
I never looked at Book like, man, he really got to get in shape. Like, no, I don't need to do that.
He was in already in shape.
Yeah,
and then
he need to get smaller.
Yeah. Get him a burger.
The anti-Zion?
Well, get him a donut as long as it doesn't have the chocolate cake because he might turn away from the chocolate cake.
No, I'm going to go get one.
Oh, now you're weakening.
No,
huh?
I'm going to go get one.
But I ain't even going to repeat what you said. We get canceled for that. Man. Well, as Benzito says, get the man some tacos.
Hey, get him some tacos for sure. Where you at next, man? I got to know. Put it in the chat.
Yeah, put it in the chat, please. And come through and see us, man. Let's talk Kings basketball tonight. At Tom's Watch Bar, beginning at 5 o'clock, we're going to watch the NBA draft together. We're going to talk Kings basketball together. The whole ESPN crew will be out there. We hope that you will come join us, man. We're going to have a great time at a great spot. Tom's Watch Bar, right next to the Golden One Center in Doko, beginning at 5 o'clock. We're headed straight there right after today's show. So come through. We'd love to see you. The Nets, perhaps more importantly for Sacramento, whatever happens with OG and the Knicks, whatever. Whatever happens with the Houston Rockets and Kevin Durant, it's whatever. Mm. Reports are the Nets are still draft thirsty.
Mm.
They want more picks.
Mm.
Well, Cam Johnson is there.
Mm.
Dorian Finney-Smith is there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're clearly in reset mode. I don't know what it'll take, but obviously there's the 13th pick that the Sacramento Kings have to offer and whatever other incentives that Monty McNair could come up with. But man, there's still some guys on that new, if they're gutting this whole thing. Yeah, there's a couple of guys on that Brooklyn Nets roster I like.
And the word that the phrase that Brian Windhorst used was they're in super tank mode. The Nets are. Which we kind of talked about this with Washington. Makes sense. Like, yeah. If you're not going to do anything and you're far, far away this year, hey, get as bad as you possibly can for next season, which mm-hmm. is supposed to be, or next draft, which is supposed to be, you know, some maybe some franchise guys in that draft. So I get it. Mm-hmm. I completely understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to get money off the books and get some of these guys out of there and get draft picks, get extra draft picks maybe for next year or even for this year, just go ahead. Go ahead. I like the Cam Johnson thought a lot. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like the Finney Smith thought a mm-hmm. lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. He might be a little, the 13th pick traditionally might be a little rich for me to like trade Finney Smith, like the same way I thought about Caruso, right? Like I didn't know if
you
I wanted
really
to trade
hated on that.
The 13th. Well, stop it.
You did.
I like Caruso.
No, I didn't say you hated on Caruso. I said you hated
a little rich. 13th was a little rich.
I did not think that at all.
13th was a little rich. Well, also because like you know how
this
I
is
feel.
From the guy who hated Scottie Barnes.
That is not true.
There's video of it. Zay found it.
Did not hate Scottie Barnes.
That was crazy that he found that video, by the way. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. That was Couch Kenny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Couch Kenny. That was Invisalign Kenny. I was like, what the hell is wrong with him?
It was Gray Wall Kenny.
Oh. It's Invisalign Kenny.
But I will say, with what I said earlier about like, yo, the time is now to make a move. 13 for Finney Smith, and all right, I'm with that. I think Finney Smith could really help out what they're trying to do. He's along.
Hey, we'll do that. We'll do that. We like you, Monty. We'll do that. I'm gonna need you to do me a solid.
What's
though.
Up?
I'm gonna need you to take Ben Simmons $40 million with you.
I'll think about it. I will think about it.
It's 1 year.
Yeah,
it's 1 year.
What I got to give up to make the contracts work, though? I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
You don't even like Kevin Huerter. Just send him our way. Just get him out of there. Your fan base hates Harrison Barnes. Pick whichever one you want. I don't think they'd want Harrison. I think they'd rather have Kevin Huerter because this contract is they're both cheap.
Ben Simmons might retire after this year.
Yeah, well, that's the point though. That's what I'm saying is they'll come off his money this year. That's all he has left.
That's fine, but I could trade those two guys for players that might play next year.
But can you, Monty?
Yeah, Kyle Kuzma might play next year.
Can you, Monty? Like
you know
you,
what? There's
Monty,
nothing to talk about. Goodbye.
Yeah, Monty. Sounds like they don't respect you.
Goodbye.
Monty. Let's be honest. You haven't executed. You've executed one trade.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Sean Marks, pal. They love me. I just acquired a bunch of draft picks. Do you know how much they love general managers that screw up their team and acquire a bunch of draft picks? See, Sean Presti did it on purpose. Me, I stumbled upon this on an accident. I'm a jackass who screwed up a really, really good Brooklyn team by going to add James Harden. But boy, I'm a genius now, pal.
Goodbye, Sean.
We'll come back. Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320. I think so many people have had the Jesse used the Charlie Brown analogy. The football has been pulled away. I asked during the commercial break, "What do you guys think would happen?" And Kings are going to pick tonight and trade some second rounders for cash and keep it moving.
Well, maybe they'd wait till tomorrow to trade second rounders.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, perhaps. We'll report 3 second round trades tomorrow. We're not going to air the draft live, but the draft, the entire second round of the draft will be live during our show. And obviously we'll pass that along. Yeah, it'll be a good couple of days here. Be a good couple of days here for sure.
Are you okay with them keeping the pick?
Yeah, dude, I'm not going to throw something.
No,
like,
but do you think
I don't think it's in there. Yeah, I'm fine with it. It just, I at some point, I got to ask the question, though, like, why can every team seem to make a deal except this one? And then I'd ask Monty, because Monty has essentially said, like, yeah, we've got to work to get better. Mm-hmm. We've got to get better. Like, all right. Well, what are you going to do to get better? Like, you're the general manager. Like, what are you going to do? And it's not just the pick. Because remember leading into the Keegan Murray draft, I know everyone knew Keegan Murray was going to be great, and everyone was right except for us. But didn't we spend like a month and a half talking about that pick being traded?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't. And then there were people like, I can't believe they didn't trade the pick. Okay. What about now? Do you wish they had traded the pick now? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of this stuff that goes on, like right now, it's just talk. There's no... Has anyone talked to Monty McNair? Well, Monty McNair's like, I got to get off this pick. This draft is trash. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. We're all guessing. We're all speculating. We're all looking at the market. We're trying to determine what's going on in Washington, what's going on in New Orleans, what's going on with OG Anunoby and the New York Knicks, Portland. We're looking at Jeremy Grant and some of the different things that are going on there. We're just taking in the landscape and trying to figure out what that means for the Kings.
The one, I don't think it would be detrimental or anything. I do want them to move the pick, make a deal for somebody, because it does feel like this pick has a lot to do with being able to drastically improve this team, improve this roster.
Mm.
I know a lot of people talk about Harrison and Kevin Huerter. I'm not sure what that nets you back. You know what I mean? Like it may net you back a guy, and I just said that I like him. If they use the 13th pick on him, I'm okay with it or whatever. But it may net you back a guy like Finney Smith, which is a good ball player. But Finney Smith isn't Kyle Kuzma. He's not Brandon Ingram. He's not even Zach LaVine. He's not Jeremy Grant. He's not that caliber of player. It feels like to net that type of player, you need to move that 13th pick with whatever deal that you make. And if you're not doing that, it feels like that goes out the window, being able to net that type of player. Doesn't mean that you can't get better. Doesn't mean that you can't find somebody like a Finney Smith that can contribute and help out and start and all this other stuff. But to land that caliber of player, feels like you need the 13th pick. Feels like it. Could be wrong, but that's just kind of what it feels like.
Which means if they kept the 13th pick, they couldn't land that caliber of player.
That's in theory, yes. But I talked about something on the handoff as well that, you know, look, he was drafted by the Cavs, and Donovan Mitchell deal didn't happen until the middle of July.
Mm-hmm.
And he was part of that deal. Like, mm-hmm. he was essentially a first round pick in that deal. So I'll assume that the guy is going to be on the team that the Kings pick tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a possibility that a deal gets made.
Traded later.
Later, weeks from now. For, quote-unquote, the 13th pick.
Well, no, at that point, it would just be a player.
Yeah.
Because they didn't count that as the fourth or fifth first-round pick.
Yeah.
It was people who were like, oh, this is basically another first-round pick because they just drafted him.
That's what I was saying. Basically, you traded the 13th pick for Brandon Ingram. 13th pick ended up being player X.
But I think Jesse brought this up when James Hamm joined us with his immaculate Wi-Fi from Cabo.
He's never been clear, by the way.
It's like he was in he was in like ultra 4K, like he was on Apple TV or something. I heard Jesse ask about like, okay, what about everything that Houston is doing? Right? People seem to be high on Houston, their first year together, the steps they could take moving forward, and the fact that they might be positioning themselves to make a grander move, whether that grander move is Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, someone else not on the Phoenix Suns, whatever it is. They're putting themselves in position. Like, it's the idea that, like, maybe the Sacramento Kings can't sit still here. Maybe, and this is what we talk about, draft, free agency, trade deadline. Two things are always at play at those three times of year. Change and hope. People hope the change means something good, right? And sometimes you feel like, oh, they did something. And there could be a point where Kings fans are so thirsty for a move that the Dorian Finney-Smith trade would do it. Or Cam Johnson. It's not any of the bigger names that we've talked about for the last, hey, where at least they're not sitting still. And again, hope and change. Sometimes change doesn't mean it's good. Sometimes change doesn't mean things are going to get better. I think the thing that we might be a little stuck on is how are you really just rolling what De'Aaron said with what De'Aaron said? Oh, we make free throws. We win 50 games. Is Monty just sitting back like, God damn it, that's my captain. He's right. Hey, guys, make your free throws so we can go to the playoffs next year. No, that's fine. You were trying to make moves at the trade deadline. We know that. We know the Pascal Siakam conversation went somewhere. We know you were trying to make moves last year at free agency with the OG Anunoby stuff back then. It doesn't feel like another season of change, season of hope, can go by with nothing.
That's the feeling that I have as well. I was listening to the interview yesterday with the insiders with Anthony Slater and the insiders, the producers.
The producers.
The insiders / the producers. And Anthony brought up a what I thought was an interesting point, good point. And he talked about basically last year, this past season, feels a little worse than it actually was. You know what I mean? It feels
what
like.
What do you mean? Did he mean?
He just talked about how like it feels like, oh, 46 wins and it was all bad. He's like, well, it was a kind of a tough year to get 46 wins because, you know, maybe in a different season that gets you to sixth spot or something like that. But the West was super competitive this year. And that's probably going to be the case again, you know, next year. But it was just tough time to get 46 wins, tough time to lose Malik Monk, this anomaly that you just couldn't beat the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And you end up facing them
right.
With a trip to go to or a chance to go to the NBA playoffs, and not saying it was a good season, but he said it kind of feels a lot worse than it probably actually was. You won 46 games. You didn't have a bad season last year. You know what I mean? You want to find a way to improve off of that, but it feels a little worse this past season than it actually was. Do you guys? By that, feel the same way?
Yeah, like that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that. But it's not last year that I'm worried about. Jesse, go ahead.
I get it because they did win 46, but like I don't know, missing the playoffs is tough, and you didn't finish like even top eight. You finished as the ninth seed trying to get in.
Yeah, like I'm fine with like Ant-Man is 100% right. Yeah, what guys? It's not as bad as it seems. It's perfectly fine. But more than anything, it's another year. So, okay, let's go with that. Last year wasn't as bad as it seems. You're right. Well, what about next year, though? Because that's what I'm thinking about. So maybe things weren't as bad as they seemed last year. So how are they going to be better?